It's Celtics coverage on CLNSradio.com.
Sensational move from Kyrie Irving. Oh, Hayward.
That's what I'm talking about.
Horford lays it up and in.
Dial in right now and share your thoughts toll free 347-215-7771.
Welcome to the Celtics postgame show. We are rolling along here, and it is time.
It's Celtics coverage on CLNSradio.com.
Sensational move from Kyrie Irving. Oh, Hayward.
That's what I'm talking about.
Horford lays it up and in.
Dial in right now and share your thoughts toll free 347-215-7771.
Hello, everybody. We got a win to talk about here. Celtics wallop the Kings 104-93 in a game they kind of sputtered out the start of. But there is plenty to talk about big picture, injury-wise, and around the league as this season just continues to complicate on both sides of the conferences. Celtics win 104-93. We are going to talk about that for 30 minutes. I am Bobby Manning alongside Taylor McLeod, as I often am here.
What's up?
Whatever you want tonight, 347-215-7771. We'll talk a little bit about the game, but as I've been in and out of the picture here the last few weeks, just getting back from D.C. tonight, we have plenty of breaking news when it comes to the injuries on this team that continue to mount and mount and mount and maybe derail the season. We will debate that today, surely. And Terry Rozier has to give you hope, so don't worry. We're going to talk about tonight's game, as I know you guys love to do, keep it in the present. And Terry Rozier gives us good reason to do so in a night that didn't have a ton of excitement. 8-12 three-point shooting, and that was just one short of the Celtics' three-point record in a single game, I believe. So you have history tonight, even against the tanking Kings. Nice double entendre right there. Taylor, you caught most of this one. I'm assuming I was in and out as I was driving back, caught most of the second half. What stuck out to you tonight?
I mean, obviously it was Terry Rozier. He plays better and better every game, and tonight you said it was a historic game for him, and it's historic in so many ways. You know, it was his second 30-point game, his career high with 33 points, and then he had 30 points, 8 three-pointers, 5 steals, 5 rebounds, and 5 assists, which is the first time any player has ever done that. Jared Weiss from, I think, Celtics Wire just tweeted that, according to Basketball Reference, he is the first player ever in NBA history, not just this year, not in the past couple years, ever, to do 30 points on 8 three-pointers, 5 steals, and 5 rebounds in a single game. So it's historic all around, and he continued his streak of double-digit scoring up to 22 games, which is from, I believe, his first start against the Knicks a few months back. He's just been a monster lately, and, you know, as he plays like this, it becomes clearer and clearer to me that at some point, he's not going to be on this team because there won't be any room, because he is already at this point starter caliber in the NBA. Josh Eberle tweeted that since he started, I think, 7 games this year, or 9 games, and he's, you know, 19 points a game, 6 rebounds, 5 assists. He's going to be a starter in this league, and obviously with Kyrie and Jalen in the mix, it's not looking like there's much room for him. So every time he plays better, it makes me hopeful for this year and next year. But after that, it makes me skeptical that he'll be a Celtic in the future.
You heard it. There's a nice topic of debate to start the show. Has Terry Rozier played himself off the Celtics? We are now 23 games into him being a shoo-in for double-digit scoring. And, of course, there's been inconsistencies in who's been at point guard over that stretch. And recently he has been the starter. He had another stretch where he was the starter as well when Kyrie was also dealing with another ailment and Marcus Smart was recovering from his other hand injury. We're kind of splitting hairs on which injury is attributed to which player at what time this year. That just says a lot about what the Celtics have gone through this year. And through that period, as many will tell you on the Twitter line, Celtics Twitter has just willed Terry Rozier into being a great player. And he is borderline great right now. Like a guy who's shooting 8 of 12 from 3 in a game, and his stretch has been 3-point driven. That's big time. Big time. And that was what people worried about with him coming out of the draft, as well as Jaylen Brown. And both, you know, at different levels are starting to show that they can thrive out from behind the line and be consistent out there. And that's key to being a consistent scorer in today's day and age. My thing is, we're going off just over 20 games right now saying that, yes, he's a good player now. And I would tend to agree with that. But is the fact that most of this is coming from a ridiculously hot 44% three-point shooting over that stretch, and I know it's not a short stretch by any means, but is the fact that this is almost completely oriented around him catching such fire from out beyond the arc, does that give you a little cause for concern that, you know, maybe this is just a hot streak and it isn't what Terry Rozier is going to be for the rest of his career?
No, I feel that because he's a first-round pick, he was a 16th pick in 2014 or 2015, and every year of his career he's gotten better, and the thing is, he has this foundation of such athleticism. From the moment he stepped on the floor as a Celtic, I was like, okay, this guy can fly, like running and jumping. He's a great rebounder. He's obviously developed as a ball handler and developed as a passer, but he has such a strong foundation of other things that – do I think he's going to be a 44% three-point shooter for his entire career? Probably not, but there's nothing about his stroke that tells me he's going to be a bad three-point shooter and that this is a fluke. He has a nice shot. He picks his shots pretty well, and that pull-up that he hits, his pull-up three is, I'd argue, is his best weapon in his arsenal. He pulls up like I've never seen, because he's flying, and he just stops on a dime and pulls up. I think there's something to be said about a relatively small sample size. That's a quarter of a season. And it's in his third year, so, you know, things happen. But I don't see this as a fluke. I see this as continuing to build on the foundation that Rozier has been building for the past 3 years.
It is kind of hard to call a stretch that's lasted about 25% of the season now a fluke, but it is an interesting point of discussion when it comes to his success that he's had over the last 3 weeks, 4 weeks. We're probably talking over a month now with a stretch like that. And it's an interesting debate, too, when it comes to who the Celtics are as drafters, who they are as an organization at this point, and the Brad, Steve, and Dara. Because I had this conversation on the Celtics blog podcast probably, you know, 10 or so episodes ago, when we were just sulking over Jason Tatum and how amazing he's been this year. And something I noticed is that ever since Brad Stevens became the coach of the Celtics, Danny Ainge has always been known as this lousy drafter. It was the point of criticism against him forever. The guy can't draft. He picked Fab Melo. He picked James Young. He picked all these bad players. And so that changed when Stevens came along. You know, since Stevens arrived on this team, right from drafting Marcus Smart, it's been hit after hit after hit for the most part, at least with the key picks, you know. Once you get past 15, it's whatever. But Terry Rozier was what? A middle round? You know, that was really the only draft in the Brad Stevens era, thanks to the Nets, that Ainge had to make a late round selection. And after 10, you're pretty much talking late first round. And Rozier's been a hit. You know, it took a while. He's into his third season now, and we're just starting to see him succeed at the highest level. But it's been a hit. Like, you can definitively call the Rozier draft pick a home run for Stevens, Ainge, whoever goes into that decision. And you talked about the fundamental skills he has and what gives him the ability to be so consistent night in and night out. He rebounds unlike any other guard you'll ever see. He can definitely shoot, even though that was doubted going in. He can fly. He's got versatility defensively. I don't think his defense gets enough credit, honestly. It did going into the draft, but ever since, the fact that he's like a plus 8 or so net rating when he's on the floor, and that he holds the opposing offense to about 100 points per 100 possessions, and he's up in the high 110s, or not 110s, the 100s, whatever you would call that, grouping by 10s. So he's an 8 to 10 above rating, especially this year. So you can play two ends of the floor. not the greatest ball handler, but you still got to give him time on that because he's still so young and he's still in his first contract. That's something that can develop. I was looking at his game tonight. The fact that he can score so easily within himself is only going to help him when it comes to passing. Like, he's going to get more coverage defensively. Teams are going to be keying in on him more. And when that happens, it becomes a little easier to make plays for other guys. So I feel very confident about him, and I'm glad you brought up that strong set of fundamental, versatile, unique skills that he has. Like, there aren't a lot of guards out there like Terry Rozier. And, you know, looking at this draft where the Celtics probably aren't going to be picking in the top 10 thanks to the Lakers' success, they're going to have to make a late-round pick in this draft. And I think a guy like Rozier gives you hope that, you know, it isn't just the great picks that the Nets have given the Celtics that's driving their success. Stevens, the new philosophy, the guys they're looking for, and Danny Ainge, of course, too, improving as a drafter the last few seasons.
I think that's a really good point. And I think that the addition of Brad Stevens to the Celtics organization has made Ainge a better drafter. I mean, with Stevens, you look at a guy who started coaching college basketball as an assistant in 2000. And then he coached college basketball until he was hired by the Celtics at the same place, you know, every year. And he was at a mid-major program. So, you know, I feel like down at the mid-major programs, you look for guys with a little more skill because you don't land the guys with the crazy athleticism.
Yeah,
the crazy, you know,
great
blue chip.
Point.
And so he knows exactly what he's looking for in these college basketball players. And Danny Ainge has been, you know, removed from college hoops for, what, 30 years at this point? Brad Stevens is the sixth season with the Celtics, but he's still there. He's still a young guy. Like, I think he has his thumb on college basketball more so than Ainge does. And, you know, the two of them together, just with Ainge being, you know, the people person he is and getting a feel on people, and then, you know, Brad just being such a good, you know, analyst of college basketball, I think there's a harmony there that makes picks like Terry Rozier possible. And obviously, you know, they're getting credit for the Jaylen Browns and Jason Tatum's, but those are number three picks. They're supposed to be studs. They're supposed to hit. But you look at a mid-round guy like Terry Rozier and just the production he's having, and he's a legitimate chip or piece on a championship caliber team. The Celtics are the fourth best team in the NBA, arguably, and he is a legitimate piece. He's probably the sixth or seventh best player on this team, and he's playing incredibly.
You know, depending on what team you're talking about at this point, now that with the bodies left standing, he's definitely in the top five.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. So that's all I really wanted to bring up, big picture in this show, is that if the Celtics are picking in the 20s, and that's a really hard area to hit in. So there's not a lot of pressure on Danny Ainge to hit a grand slam at 25 or wherever they're going to be, but I think it's helped him a lot, especially to have an idea of what they're looking for. Like, not just stick to these traits that you throw at the best players in the draft, like, oh, this guy can shoot lights out, and this guy's got the tightest handles ever, and this guy's huge, he can anchor a defense, like all these cliches thrown around. Instead, you have, like, these roles within a system that Stevens has predefined. It's pretty clear how you want to play basketball. And like you said, it's almost like a college program. Of course, you're not just going to pick a guy because he has a certain trait here or there, but it definitely helps you narrow down what can be a tough field to your guy. Look at the last few drafts. Last year, they were sort of caught between Josh Jackson and Jason Tatum. But ultimately, you know, no matter who was floating around there in a tough top end of the draft where they had the number one pick, they were able to hone in on Tatum enough that they were able to pull another first-round pick out of it because, you know, screw Fultz, the consensus there. We have a guy in Tatum for multi-positional, versatility on the defensive end, a great three-point shot, even though people doubted that out of him too. So they weren't necessarily following the crowd there. They had an idea of what they were looking for within their system, and they were able to chase that and hit a home run there in a way that I think, you know, Terry Rozier, some people said they reached for him. But I think Stevens, Ainge, and all of them had an idea that his base skill set and the possibility for growth he had was going to bode well going forward. So I'm interested to see what the crowd thinks about this. We got two floating topics going around here of debate. The Celtics when it comes to drafting And Terry Rozier, as he's played so great late into the season, is that going to play him off this team just because he's built up so much value, so many guards here already that they're going to have to pay? Or do they commit to him as one of the centerpiece pieces going forward and maybe just let Marcus Smart go? That'd probably be a little more expensive of a direction. But you kick the signing that you have to make in 2 years down the road a little bit. Because Rozier, Irving, both signed next season, free agents after next season. Marcus Smart, of course, is the impending decision they have. So let's talk to some callers. The call line, of course, is 347-215-7771. We will be with you all the way until 9 o'clock. So get your thoughts in, and we'll get you out of here into your night. This is in the 941 area code. But first, I got to tell you about Hims, because me and Taylor both care a lot about our hair. We're young dudes, so we're not worrying about it yet, fortunately. But it's never too early to at least have it in the back of your head, because 66% of men lose their hair by age 35. It's just science. It's a fact. And when you start to notice the hair loss, it's too late, Taylor. Like, when you catch the problem's already in progress, that's when it's too late. You got to be proactive. You got to get ahead of the game. And as that hairline slowly starts moving backwards, you start asking yourself these questions. So I'm going to ask you questions. Do you want a bald spot to pop up, or do you want to do something about it first?
Yes.
Yeah.
I would love to do something.
No brainer right there. So we bring you Hims. Well-known generic equivalents to brand name prescriptions that help you keep your hair. It's not snake oil pills or gas station counter supplements, the sketchy stuff. There's no waiting room or awkward doctor visits. You save hours, all of that. A trip to the store, a trip to the doctor's office by just going to forhims.com, forhims.com. It's so easy. You answer a few quick questions, a doctor's going to review it and prescribe you what you need. The products are shipped directly to your door. You can come face-to-face with this problem you might have, and no one's going to judge you about it, even the doctor in the doctor's office, who shouldn't be doing that anyway, but you never know. So order now. Our listeners are going to get a trial month of Hims for just $5 right now while supplies last. See website for full details. This could cost you hundreds at a doctor or pharmacy. Go to forhims.com/report. That's forhims.com/report. Forhims.com/report. Let's get into these callers. What do we got to talk about today with these fine folks? 941's calling us. I think I know who that is. Hello.
You know, Bobby, there's a cure for male pattern baldness. It's called a BIC. When you start to notice that hairline going back, or you start to notice the back of your head turning into Manu Ginobili, just be a man about it. Take out the clippers, shave it down, and then take out the BIC and just cut it down. But make sure you can grow a full beard, because if you can't grow facial hair and you take the baldy look, you're going to look like a cancer patient or something like that. Not to make fun of cancer patients or anything like that, but, you know, there are solutions. Some people can just man up and, you know, shave their head, but
don't take it as a joke.
Them jeans are serious.
The first thing we want our listeners to do is go to Hims.com, though. We'll use your ideas.
If Hims doesn't work, which it should, you know what I'm saying? There's always a second option, which is just, you know, man up, nut up, and just shave it off. But anyways, Terry Rozier, bro. I don't know who called it first, but I think I was on the bandwagon a long time ago.
Yeah, we had a little debate about Rozier and Smart after that Rockets game that you and Bino really got into it over. So
was that Bino? Bino's always cool. I didn't know that was Bino that we kind of got testy with, over the Smart and the Rozier.
Trust me, it was Bino.
Yeah, it got a little hot in there that night. But now, you know, there's no doubt about it. Terry Rozier is in the spotlight, getting his due credit for what he's brought to the team all year. And it's pretty cool that now he gets to have the limelight at point guard, because he was scoring all season in that third point guard role, still held back a little bit by the guys in front of him minutes-wise. But now that he's out there scoring double figures every night for over 20 games, leading this team to victory, even though they're so undermanned, has he played himself off this team just because his value shooting up so high? There's so many guards to sign in front of him. And, you know, if they were to trade him right now, they'd probably get something pretty nice for him. Or do you think they should just stick with it and commit to what they've built here?
With Danny Ainge, I don't think I really don't think you can tell. But I think the one thing is this: the one thing that Terry Rozier is playing himself into right now, where he's playing himself into a huge contract with the team. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, let Kyrie Irving go, re-sign Terry Rozier, extend him now. No, I'm bugging, but I'm just saying. The one thing that I think seriously that I think that Terry Rozier's play is giving the Boston Celtics is an option if they try to make a big move for a major superstar. And I'm not going to mention any names because I don't like getting involved in that type of talk, especially not, as playoffs come around, is that he's another young piece that has proven to be able to carry a team to wins, even if it's, just the Sacramento Kings or whatever. The Boston Celtics wouldn't have won these games against the Portland Trailblazers, the number 3 team in the West, the Oklahoma City Thunder, the number 4 team in the West, if it weren't for Terry Rozier being able to make plays. What this has given the Boston Celtics is, when you talk about these trades for, big-name players, it's always Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. It's always those two guys. Having Terry Rozier play like this gives another young player to the Boston Celtics so they can say, well, how about not Jaylen Brown? How about Terry Rozier instead? Or how about not, Jason Tatum? How about Terry Rozier plus Al Horford's contract and, a pick or something like that? It gives the Boston Celtics one more guy that's not just a throw-in player. That's a guy that the teams will want to sign. So I think that's, as much as anything else, if he plays himself off the team. I just don't know how the Boston Celtics can commit a max contract to Kyrie Irving and then still be able to pay Terry Rozier if he continues to play like this next year in a contract year. It's going to be very difficult because Terry Rozier is playing himself into a huge contract. At the same time, you got to reevaluate what is Marcus Smart worth as you look at the contracts. Last thing I read was that the rumor was the Celtics were willing to match anything in the high teens for Marcus Smart. Me personally, I don't think he's worth that, but you have to think of all of these things as the Boston Celtics go forward with this massive, cachet of assets, of young assets, of quality assets that the Boston Celtics have accumulated now.
Yeah, and they've drafted so well, as we've talked about, getting all these assets here who they're going to have to soon pay. It's going to be tough. If Smart plays himself into the high teens, which is tough to imagine with his season probably coming to an end, maybe he gets back to the playoffs. We're still going to see on that front. But I don't think he did a whole lot this season to play himself into that territory, and that will really test the Celtics if that's the case on which one of those guards they're going to keep, because they do have to sign Irving after next season too, which is undoubtedly a max deal. Taylor, what is your position on all of this? You said he might have played himself off the team with his recent play. Do you think they have to be proactive with that decision, or can they just wait, bring back everybody, and then make a move from there?
I think it's tough because if you look at a situation like Oklahoma City was in a couple years ago with James Harden, and before I get into this, I'm not saying that we have a Kevin Durant, Russell Westbrook, and James Harden on this roster. But James Harden has said publicly that he was ready to be the sixth man for his. He would have signed with Oklahoma City had they given him money, and he would have played sixth man his entire career. Oklahoma City was proactive him for Jeremy Lamb, a pick which turned into Steven Adams, and a couple other things. So there's – because on one hand, you can get picks and whatever and turn it into Steven Adams, but on the other hand, you lose a player who's willing to be that sixth man. So I think there is so many different things on the table that you have to weigh right now, because obviously I'm not saying Rozier is Harden. But if he keeps developing, he'll continue to get better and better. And like I said, he'll be a legitimate piece on a championship-caliber team. But if he's willing to play that six-man role and let, Kyrie and Jaylen start – not the coach's decision, he doesn't let them do anything. But if he's willing to take that back seat and run the second unit, that's super valuable. And then you say, okay, let's keep him around, because that's huge. That's huge for a team who's looking to be a multi-time champion over the next 10 years. If he's not, if he's, causing a stink, causing a stir, then I think you look to it, because like Jacinto said, if someone wants Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, you can be like, hey, we got this guy who's a little more developed, maybe not as much upside, but he's proven that he can win. And if you're in a win now mode, he's very valuable. So, he is a chip, but I think there's two schools of thought, and it depends a lot on how he feels about being the sixth man going forward.
Yeah, and you got to think about the fact that they're going to be going for it next year. So everything you have for next season is going to be important. And if they run this back, obviously your starters are the two young guys, Irving, Hayward, and Horford. There's no doubt about that. So then if you run everybody back, you're going to have Tice off the bench, Morris, Rozier, Smart. That's a lot of firepower off the bench. And, of course, it's better to have more guys than not there. But, you know, this team doesn't really need to add much unless they're going for a top-tier piece like a Davis. And I think that's where Nick had a good point to start his call off right there. Because, you know, sure, Rozier is going to have value, but I don't think he's worth flipping for value alone. Like, yeah, the Thunder definitely got value at the time for James Harden. I like that comparison. You know, those three pieces at the time looked like they might be worth something, but you look at what Harden became elsewhere, and it definitely wasn't worth it. They didn't get any marquee pieces back, and the team on the other side got the superstar in exchange for just a few bits and pieces that they threw back at them. So I think that does give you pause for making this decision too early, especially when there are going to be big expectations next year. Maybe a guy goes down again next year. Lord willing, we should probably have karma on our side next year after what happened this season, but it never hurts to have depth. You look at this team, even though this team lost Hayward to start the year, they still had depth. Like, it is amazing to have a point guard of this level playing after you lost two point guards already. That's like near miracle status right there to me.
Bobby, there's a point I wanted to make real quick that you guys talked about earlier. I believe it was you that mentioned Rozier's not quite the best of ball distributors or at, you know, running the offense for the Boston Celtics. He still needs to be developed in that category, and that's the main category, I think, in his NBA game that he needs to work on. And I think that's kind of where the conflict with the, you know, Marcus Smart crowd is going to come in. Terry Rozier hasn't been developed that way because Marcus Smart has been developed that way. And in signing, you know, in thinking about signing Marcus Smart, if the Boston Celtics, I think when you watch Marcus Smart and you look at Marcus Smart's deal and see if the Boston Celtics actually bring him back, if they bring him back, that's probably going to be a sign of what's going to happen to Terry Rozier. All right? So because if you bring Marcus Smart back, that puts Terry Rozier then even back further on that depth chart in terms of being the backup to Kyrie Irving. And me personally, if it was me, just to, you know, spark up that debate again because I love Vino, is I would rather have Terry Rozier backing up Kyrie Irving because in today's NBA, you know, a 60-game season is not an injured season. That's three-quarters of a season for an NBA player. And in today's NBA where you have games where stars take off, where they'll have like a tiny injury in the coach will say, oh, let's just pull him out. Like I think the injury to Marcus Morris tonight. If there was a playoff seed on the line for the Celtics, Marcus Morris probably would have played. I don't know how severe his injury is, but in this situation, Brad Stevens probably said, nah, just sit him out. It's the Kings. We're not going anywhere. We're in the second seed. Just let him sit out. I would rather have, you know, Kyrie Irving is going to miss time next season as well. Even if he's, knock on wood, you know, God bless him, hope he's healthy the whole season. Like a superstar, he's going to miss some of those games. And having a guy like Terry Rozier that can come in and drop, you know, don't expect 30 points every single night out of him, but they can drop, you know, 20 points. I legitimately think Terry Rozier is going to be a 20-point per game. If you let Terry Rozier run loose, he would be a 20-point per game scorer on a winning team, on a playoff-caliber team. So I think having a guy like that, if he's willing, like you said, to take, you know, to be the backup to an all-world caliber player like Kyrie Irving, you know, and be that first man off the bench, be that guy that can come in there, be a spark, and he can improve his ball distribution and his playmaking and ability to run the offense. I think that's like perfect, you know, and I don't want to give him, you know, too much. His game is nothing like James Harden. He's entirely different. I think he's more like a baby Westbrook or a baby Dwayne Wade, kind of has a little bit of that in there. But having a guy like that off the bench, people like to say Marcus Smart is the heart and soul of the Boston Celtics. I love his hustle. He's a baby Rodman. But I think that if you're trying to win in today's NBA, it's so up-tempo. You got to spread the floor. You got to do that. Terry Rozier is just so much more predictable, so much easier to fit into a scheme. It's not, you know, one thing one night and one thing the other night the way Marcus Smart is. And I really think that if they re-sign Marcus Smart, that's going to stunt in some ways the development of Terry Rozier and thus the value of Terry Rozier if you want to trade him. So they got to really make a decision, the Boston Celtics. It's tougher now than I think it's ever been before, given how well Terry Rozier has played since the All-Star break.
It's tough. There's a lot of bodies in there. There's a lot of considerations you have to factor into this. Like, we could do like a whole hour show on this, undoubtedly. There's the luxury tax coming into play next year. Our friend Sam Sheehan loves to talk about that. Too bad we don't have him here to break it down a little bit for us. But the Celtics are going to get into a period here. They really don't have a choice where they're going to be diving into the luxury tax after next season, because Kyrie Irving's going to be back on a max deal. Hayward's maxed out for years to come. Horford's maxed out for years to come. So with three max players, you're going to be paying luxury tax in 2020. So do you want to pay luxury tax in 2019? That's a very important question this team has to face right now. They're just under the tax line right now. If you add any more money on a significant deal, i.e. Marcus Smart in the high teens, you jump into the luxury tax next season. And the more years you're in the luxury tax in a row, the more it's going to cost your ownership. So I see this as, do you absolutely think the Celtics are championship contenders next year, Taylor?
Yes.
Case. And it's tough because the Warriors are still the Warriors. But if that's the case, you jump into the luxury tax. You bring everybody back. You pad up all the depth you can. You put all the chips on the table. And you go for it. You pay your luxury tax to win a championship. Like, all those Kyrie Irving shirts are selling. I know it. You see them everywhere. There is no doubt the ownership group can handle the luxury tax. I almost hate talking about this because the owners can obviously handle the luxury tax. But, you know, it might be smart to avoid it when it comes to the repeater tax if you don't feel like you're quite there yet next season. So we'll say they can definitely bring everybody back next season if they want to. I think it'd be smart to. Nick made some great points right there, and thanks for the call, Nick, as always. Great, great points. Rozier almost does fit this system better overall than Smart does. Like, if you had a, you know, gun to the head, one or the other. It's so hard. It's so hard. But who would you go with?
For what? For next year? Trying to win a title next year?
Just, yeah, I guess. Celtics next year. Because you got five starters. You need your sixth man off the bench. Who's it going to be?
Terry Rozier.
Yeah, I lean that way a little bit, too.
It hurts. It hurts a lot because
you watch a game,
like that December game against the Rockets in Marcus Smart gets two offensive fouls, and he just does stuff that is just unreal for a player who has a clear deficiency on one end of the floor to be so important on the defensive end, but just winning plays-wise. And I think so many people like love to downplay the importance of winning plays. You don't you don't win basketball games without winning plays. You don't win championships without winning plays. And Smart just gives winning play after winning play winning play. But it's hard because
yeah, and that's why you'd like to have both because
absolutely. That's why
a lot of great teams
now
have lost.
Awesome.
A lot of great teams have lost the finals. You know, the 2008 Lakers. That was a very good team. And you don't get remembered if you don't win at all. Like, the Celtics could be great next year. Fall just short of beating the Warriors. You know, they gave their best shot. They go six games or whatever, and they still lose to the Warriors because, of course, you know, no matter who the Celtics bring into next season, that's absolutely a possibility. You know, I think that's a good point, too. That's a good rebuttal. Even though Rozier can get out in transition, can shoot more consistently, although we got to see it over a full season because his percentages aren't, you know, phenomenal either. The one or two plays a game in game six, maybe Smart gets a huge steal down the stretch. Maybe he hauls in a rebound to stop a possession. Those little things matter. And it's not like he's just doing one or two of those, and he's probably doing five or six or seven or eight. Like, those are the less tangible things you talk about with Smart. And I think it's why, ideally, you bring both of them back for next season. I think we found a good answer here because, you know, Davis isn't available next summer. Like, you know, they're going to make the playoffs, probably going to put up a decent fight. You got Cousins coming back almost certainly, I think. I don't think he's going to be available. So what are the stars going to be out there that maybe you could package Rozier with? I just don't see it right now. And you had a very good point with the Harden thing. Like, you're not just going to give up this guy for value just for the hell of it. I mean, you've got another rookie year with him. Cross that bridge when you get to it.
Right, and the situation's obviously different. I'm not saying that Terry Rozier's game is like Harden's. I'm not saying he'll ever be as good as Harden. I'm not saying he'll, you know, score 2,000 points and assist on 2,000 points. It's just the situation is similar where you have this, you're overflowing with riches and you just have to make these tough decisions. Because if you give a big contract to Smart and then, you know, you try to lock up Rozier, well, then you're looking at Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum looking for deals 2-3 years down the road. And then if whatever happens with these, you know, the Lakers pick, the Grizzlies pick, the Clippers pick, you have so much stuff coming down the road. And it's the unfortunate part of sports. Now, it's unfortunate for the fans. Obviously, it's great for the athletes, salary caps and stuff. But it just – you're looking at what's going to end up being a logjam maybe 2-3 years down the road, but you have to be cognizant of that now. You can't just, you know, play it willy-nilly and get to 2020 and be like, oh, damn, like we've got too many contracts and too few players and – now we have to blow it up. It's tough. Everything's tough, especially with fan favorites like Smart and Rozier. Like Celtics Twitter, it's Jaylen Brown, Marcus, and Terry Rozier. Those are Celtics Twitter's three favorite people. So it's tough to have this conversation.
Yeah, and, you know, we have this conversation with the Patriots, too. You'd rather trade the guy ahead of time than get screwed later on, and that is a consideration. But basketball is a little bit different, you know? Like, you're not always going to get value for a guy just because you're dumping him off. And I know it's a whole different game, the salary caps and everything else, but waiting can sometimes help you because waiting opens up the bigger deal. In basketball, the bigger deal is almost always what you're looking for. Like, it solves a problem if you're able to get rid of them for a smaller deal that gets you back good value, but it's probably not going to help you on the long term because the more great players you have, the better chance you have of winning a championship. And I think that's the moral of the story. And it showed in the way the Celtics addressed this season. Like, oh, Greg Monroe's out there. We got two good centers already. What do we need him for? And whoops, Tice is gone. And now Monroe has to step up and you get another great center. Like, there's nothing wrong with having too many great players on a team now. So I think we found our answer there. I think this whole team's going to be back next season. Even Marcus Morris, who I think there's a discussion to be had about too, because, you know, he was out tonight, so not a ton to talk about with him in particular tonight, but he has been on fire lately, Taylor.
Absolutely.
He had the big buckets against Portland to win that game. Of course, he had a phenomenal shot that had me and Bino going crazy up in the studio for about when we hosted that post-game show. He was great in that game, and he has been overall late. And, you know, I think he looks a little bit more engaged, active, happy, starting. I think there's a little bit of something there with that. You know, who wouldn't want to start? And he's
right,
a starting caliber player in this league. But with him too, like, there's a big log jam in the wing spots next year. And if someone went down, you'd love to have him starting in their place. But that's a consideration too. What do you think of Morris going forward this season, next season?
I think he is huge to have on the team from a confidence standpoint because, you know,
I'm loving it at this point.
Yeah, no, same. In the beginning, I was like, oh, okay, this guy, he kind of chucks a lot, but in the shots aren't always the most efficient, but if he can shoot as well as he has been from three, then I don't mind the occasional isolation elbow jumper, elbow fadeaway, you know, baseline fadeaway.
He is the king of if you got it, flaunt it. Like, he is the disciple
exactly
of Carmelo Anthony in the flesh.
Normally, it's kind of a negative, but the thing is, on this team, especially with how close he is to a guy like Jason Tatum, like, that's contagious. You get that, all these guys have confidence, all these guys are shooting the ball, all these guys are going to the rack. You have a confident team, you know, to go up against these big teams, big players like LeBron and the Warriors and you know, Houston and Portland and all these guys. You have to have that confidence. You have to have that swag. And Marcus Morris brings that. And he's a big body on defense. I wouldn't call him a great defender, but he's a big body. He's a big body wing defender. He's no LeBron stopper like Celtics, you know, fans were talking about this summer when they traded for him, you know, giving out percentages like LeBron only shot this percentage against him in the playoffs. But I like Marcus Morris for what he is. He's not – he doesn't try too hard to be something else. He doesn't try to – you know, he doesn't – he's not lazy. He's a good, solid piece for a team looking to win a title.
Yeah, and in a system that's so bent on pass, 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 and guys can get a little hesitant sometimes – you do need that little change of pace where a guy's going to let it fly. And sometimes it infuriates, but sometimes it wins a game, too. That shot that beat the Thunder was not the greatest shot in the world, but what are you going to do there? 1 second left, he knew it, he had to let it fly, and he hit it. So,
right.
Not always pretty, but it works. Few points on him. I think he's played better with Tatum lately. I think they've had a better dynamic on the floor, which suits them well going forward. His defense has left a little to be desired this year. You remember the Wizards game down the stretch where he was just kind of floating around, and then the guy hit the three behind him. I think it was one of the role guys down the Wizards.
The Celtics were up three. Porter came through to dunk, and with like 5 seconds left, and Morris helped from the wing, and then Porter pulled the ball back down, threw it at the Jody Meeks, who tied the game up. That was just a mistake. On Morris's part.
Yeah, so he's left a little bit to be desired there. But overall, he's been better than Olynyk, I'd say.
Yeah.
More aggressive. Yeah. So he's been a great change of pace from there in what his role has been. And he's stepped up big time these last few weeks when they need him too. I think the theme of this team lately is, we're probably screwed from a miraculous finals run. Maybe not, depending on who comes back. That's still up in the air, but I think they got enough to get through the first round, which is important because the help's not coming in the first round, I think. We have another caller, 413. Want to get him on if he wants to. Quick point to close the show, 413. Who we got?
I'm sorry, just listening. Thank you.
All right, yeah, I assume that. So,
shout out,
1 minute
shout out
left.
To 413.
Yeah, the number looks familiar. So, thanks for listening. Thanks to Nick Sacento for being here with us tonight. Celtics are back tomorrow. So we got a little bit of an abbreviated show tonight, but tomorrow we got the show back on the air late night so you West Coast folks can get it in with us. 10 o'clock tip against the Phoenix Suns. We'll see if Marcus Morris plays. Did you catch what he missed tonight's game with? Like I said, I was driving around and stuff. So.
Yeah, so I have that, and then I have two quick points I want to make just before the show ends. Marcus Morris had a sprained right ankle, but like Sacento said, I'm assuming he would have played had it been a playoff game. But the two other points I want to make is it was great to see Jaylen Brown back on the floor tonight. He scored 18 points in his first game back in 2 weeks after that concussion. Seeing him throw down a couple dunks and hit that finger roll, you know, transition layup was pretty nice. And then, I'm waiting for Tatum to hit 30. Like, I thought it was coming tonight. I thought, you know, with a bunch of, you know, injuries – playing against the worst team in the NBA, or one of the worst teams in the NBA, I really thought we were going to see the first 30-point game from Tatum tonight, and I'm waiting for it. He hit 27 a couple weeks back against Phoenix, but man, I'm waiting for Tatum to get 30.
Points, and those are two guys who are they'll figure to be two of your top three leading scorers going forward. They're going to need those guys to contribute. Marcus Morris has stepped into that role of late while Brown was coming back. But once Brown gets in the forefront, he's been scoring 10-plus all season. You probably want to see him get up more toward that 20 range more consistently there. And if Morris is doing that, you know, no problem. As we've talked about before, this is an offense where whoever has the shot's going to get it. You know, not in particular who's the best scorer left or who's going to be taking the shots. The offense kind of dictates who's going to score on a night-to-night basis. But other guys do have to step up aggressiveness-wise and – or be more aggressive is a better way of saying that. And Tatum has lately. Over the last week or two, he has shown that he can get his own, be set up to score at a higher rate than he was when other scorers were playing with him, and he can adapt to the situation. So that's something we'll keep looking for going forward. Brown's recovery from his head injury, very important return for them. They're getting pieces back slowly but surely, and the door is still open for Kyrie Irving and Marcus Smart to return at some point in the playoffs. So for Terry Rozier and everyone else, It's just about maintaining and surviving at this point. Celtics win 104-93. That's our show tonight. Thanks to Nick Sesento, CLNS Media, and everyone listening tonight. We are back tomorrow at 12:30. So it is a late night party here on the Celtics postgame show, and you got to be there, especially you West Coast. Every time we're on after 10 o'clock, I am eyeing you guys. I know you're out there. So lovers, haters of the Celtics, we welcome you all here to the show. And of course, if that's too late for you, you can subscribe to the Celtics postgame show on iTunes and get it in the morning right when you wake up. Our voices telling you what happened and what's to come. Taylor McLeod, thanks. And
yes, sir.
I'm Bobby Manning. That's your show for tonight.
This has been the Celtics postgame show on CLNSradio.com. Thanks for listening. The Celtics might not be in action every day, but we are, so stay connected. Follow us on Twitter at CLNSRadio and check out our broadcast schedule for the best weekly sports podcasts on the web.